Welcome back, episode 125 of the Ranting Rangers podcast in partnership with Inside the Rink. I'm your host, Jacob Berkowitz, and I'm alongside co-host Brett. Brett, how's it going?
You know, it's a podcast about the Rangers. And the Rangers. The Rangers are playing hockey currently.
Really? Well, not currently.
Not in this exact moment, but like are actively in season.
Playing, that's pretty good analysis.
Playing hockey games. Ice hockey being a game that you,
have knives on your shoes and
you bang around a vulcanized rubber puck, as they call it, and you try to score more goals than the other team. And,
well, so the goalies wear pillows on their legs.
That is also true. Yeah. And I believe that you're allowed to murder somebody on the ice too. And that's just,
I've heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing.
I think we just could wrap it up here. I mean, that's pretty solid analysis right there.
I think it's good. Yep.
Well, we could also mention that you took a nosedive yesterday to lose your matchup this week, so you didn't have to play me for the playoffs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, you didn't put up your lineup for Saturday, and you just happened to lose today, this week, and now you won't face me in the first round of the playoffs.
I got a little sloppy and didn't...
And also, I had more points for than you did this season, just to sit on the
you
record.
You did, but you also did not have nearly the number of injuries that I did.
Well, yeah, of course I did. What do you mean? Eichel was gone for 2 weeks. Stone, I don't even have Stone. He's gone.
Stone wasn't doing anything anyway.
Yeah, he was. What does that mean?
You can go back and you can look at the matchups and you can see my IR. I mean, I never didn't have a full IR this entire season. Like literally, it was full the entire season.
I finally got Martinez back.
That should have been on the IR. That were IR eligible. I mean, and then Marner just recently goes down again as well. Oh, he's only one. He's only like my third round drafted winger. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You should have made the bet. You should have made the bet, but you were too much of a coward.
Or you just overvalue or overestimated your team?
No. Just it's fantasy, and sometimes injuries happen, and sometimes sometimes you have to. But it's not really about playing you so much. It's about setting up my team to win the championship by any means necessary.
Which means taking a nosedive this week and hoping that I get knocked out in the first round.
It's not about you. It's about who I'd rather play instead.
Yeah, there you go. Which would have to do with me, because you don't want to play me.
No, it's because of the matchups that I look ahead and picked who I would rather play with, who I have out, and who is out for the other team.
Well, at least you're admitting it.
Well, absolutely. It was a smart veteran play. This is why I take down championships. This is why I win.
It's not because commissioner rules. You get to...
No, smart, savvy moves that I make from an unemotional place. It really had nothing to do with you personally, but the matchup looking ahead for these next 2 weeks was more favorable.
That's by definition to me personally.
It's not you personally, though.
If you were trying to avoid me, therefore it is directly to me.
Your team, but it's not about it's that what your team represents in the matchups for these.
That's like saying I'm fine playing the Islanders, or I don't want to play the Islanders, and I just don't want to go up against their coach. Like it doesn't make sense.
No, it's more like saying like, oh, I would rather play I would rather play the Islanders in the first round rather than Carolina. It doesn't mean that I'm scared of Carolina.
But those are two different entities, and I'm running my team.
But these are two different entities as well.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they're two different teams that I'm playing against, you or another team.
Yeah, exactly. So if it has to do with you avoiding me.
But it's not about you. It's about the matchup.
That's literally by definition of me. What's it called? The amount of times you have jinxed injuries this season, man, this is ridiculous.
I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Just happens again. To be the right before the regular season, I claimed it. You jinxed it. And look what happened. Do you remember a season this bad with injuries for the Rangers?
if listeners will recall, it all started by me saying that we've been tremendously lucky the last couple of years by not having any major injuries.
Multiple people came on the podcast and have agreed with me that you jinxed it.
And we should expect to have more injuries this year. Yeah,
that's
just due to the law of averages. The law of averages said that this year we were going to have more injuries because we've been tremendously
lucky. This isn't more injuries. This is like over the top.
No, I mean, I don't think it's over the top, honestly.
Fox out for almost a month. Kako out for a month and a half. Hedl out for the season. Yeah. Lindgren's knee looks like, I hope it looked better than it looked.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's plenty of teams that have big guys that go down for, like, the whole year or miss many, many months. It's like, this
except
isn't.
That's like one guy.
For the NHL, this is, I don't think this has been a tremendously cursed Rangers injury season. I think this is more of a regression back to the mean. And that's exactly what I was saying at the beginning of the season, that Rangers fans should prepare themselves for more injuries this year, because the last couple of years we've gotten so lucky to have very few injuries. And in a game that's as physical and demanding as hockey is, I knew that eventually your luck's going to run out and you're going to start seeing more injuries happen, which is exactly what happened. Now, you can call that jinx. But apparently that I wield a tremendous amount of power.
And kind of like how you jinxed the Fox injury also. You flat out said about Adam Fox getting injured. And what happened, Brett?
Well, I think I said basically every key player by name at some point too.
Yeah, those you guys, kind of highlighted his name.
Well, yeah, just because that's the one that would annoy you the most. But, I mean, I just love that in your worldview, I have this power. I'm like, how powerful am I?
I don't think you'd want to take blame, but fine.
No, but I mean, but in your little imagination, you imagine that I have this tremendous power.
I'm just saying that the one year they have really bad injuries, you said it. So there you go. But anyway, I mean, if Lindgren's out long term, this is – Ruido becomes a much bigger acquisition because he's the only defensive defenseman they have. And Jones has been playing fantastic.
Yeah,
but I don't know – I don't know what they do. The thing is, Ruido's right-handed, so I don't know if they're going to be willing to put him in the top four on his offside, but man, that is like, you really want to hope for the best, but man, that did not look good.
Yeah, it didn't look great. Honestly, it didn't look as bad as Kako's did, you know. It's you know, with those knee injuries too, it's like, it's hard to tell. It's like,
yeah,
these guys, sometimes it looks bad and it's like, yeah, but like a week and a half later, they're back in skating and they're fine. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, he could be gone for the rest of the year too. I don't know.
It's very possible they come. I mean, I'd assume the news will come Tuesday because it was back-to-back, so they're off tomorrow, I think. Yeah. So it could very well be like, oh yeah, he's day-to-day. Oh yeah, he avoided the worst. It's day-to-day or week-to-week. And that would be best case scenario. But you know, you never know. And him being such an integral part, I know he hasn't had the best season, but he's still pretty important to this team, being, you know, the only defensive defenseman besides Ruido. And could we talk about how this Rangers defense has looked? I mean, Tampa, in the end there, it looked horrific. Pittsburgh, just, I guess, defense was kind of optional for both teams. Islanders was great, but they've had a few of their best defensive games this season, and what do you know? Who's out, Brett?
Jacob Trouba's.
Huh. Oh, really? It's the problem is, though, is that he's being used as a shutdown role. Like, I'd be interested in seeing what happens when Lindgren is paired with Trouba. Lindgren. Because Trouba's not a shutdown guy. Just because he hits. Like, I know there are people out there that believe defense is all about hitting, but that's just one component to it. Not even like. Yeah. And I don't know. Him and Miller just are not a good pairing. You know they're going to go right back to that. I'm hoping Laviolette has shown a lot of the times where you think, oh, here we go again. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And then he's, you know, surprised us. I hope this is another surprise because they shouldn't be back together. Miller has looked great. There are some times he's had bad hiccups, but he's looked better. Schneider at times has looked better. It's... Yeah, it's a problem that your issue is considering that your $8 million player you've been better without him.
Yeah, and now I'm not willing to say that it is due to him not being out there as a reason why, because a lot of times there's obviously it's a team game defense.
It could be just the excitement from the trade deadline, like the new players coming in, yeah. You're now the down the stretch.
It could be not that. It also could be that too. I'm not saying you're wrong, you know. But you're right. But I also do think that it is probably fairly unlikely that we're going to see a major, you know, other than injuries begging it. I don't think he's going to be, you know, let's say Trouba and Lindgren are both back in a week and a half. Okay. Let's say that's the reality. I don't think at this point of the season, Laviolette's going to be like, all right, you know what? We got a few weeks, couple weeks left. Let's switch up all the D pairs now. I just don't think that's likely something. That
right. No, 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 no. You're right.
But I don't see him making that kind of change.
Miller Trouba just does not make sense. It
really doesn't.
Absolutely not. It makes zero sense. It's just they're deploying Trouba wrong. They're not using him the way he's supposed to. I would be curious if they deployed him the proper way, but it's, man. I mean, Rui Ito also is very good defensively around the front of the net, which is huge for the Rangers. I'm not going to say the Rangers are like the worst in the league, but that is something, you know, a few times here and there, they're not the best at. They kind of have these breakdowns, and Rito will help that until we figure out what happens with Lindgren. But I think Jones is just, I know it's just been five games, but how does Drury not look at this and say, you know, I might just have my bottom left D-man for the next year now?
Because I gotta say, picking up Rui Ito was such a great move, especially now that you're dealing with two of your six main guys on defense being injured. Being able to have Jones and then Rui Ito come in is like, we could actually not really miss too much of a beat. I think you lose, a lot of teams lose two D-men like that, you know, two top four D-men. Like, their team's going to suck pretty hard.
But not if one of their defensemen might be a liability.
Yeah, true. But I'm just saying that, like...
No. But I got you. The depth is there.
Having a set of D-men like Jones is great. And then having a backup like Ruido to come in for somebody like Lindgren going out is massive as well.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're poised to be able to absorb two injuries like that at the same time... and not be in terrible shape is pretty awesome. And that's why I was very happy about that Ruido signing.
Yeah, no, once I saw that, I'm like, perfect. Because I really wanted them to get a defensive defenseman. Because exactly in this case scenario, if Lindgren goes down, we have no defensive defenseman. We needed that, and Drury got it. And he probably got the best one for that price, you know, on the market. I mean, what did Toronto give up for Edmondson? And like, you look at his analytics, they're horrific. And Ruido's actually are really good. I guess, you know, we can only talk so much about the Lindgren situation. It's just a matter of, you know, let's just see how it is. What's the situation? And I mean, if he's out, you hope you go against a team like Detroit in the playoffs. I mean, man, I am not a fan of going up against Tampa. I'm not saying the Rangers can't win. It's just, yeah, I would not really want to do that.
Yep.
It's but like, you know, I'm not sure if this makes sense, but you know what Tampa's really, really good at? If you ever notice, they have these picks once in a while, or when they check someone down, they give them a little extra two cross checks to keep them down while the ref's looking like, you know, at the current play. They're very good at getting away with these little things that could affect the game. And it's, I mean, what was it? Game two? What game was it where it was versus Rangers versus Tampa in the playoffs, the Eastern Conference Finals 2022, and a pick ended up causing the winner for Tampa with like a minute left. What game was that? It was game five or game two? Not game two. I'm sorry. The Rangers won that one. Yeah, game five.
Okay.
You'd and like something. Yeah, it had to be game five because Rangers won both game one and game two. And this happened in MSG. So, I mean, those are the type of things. They got guys like Stamkos, Kucherov, Stamkos isn't, you know, having a great season. But you know, they got a point. What, he had a 6-point night?
Yeah.
It's not Duclair. It's not someone who you want to face in the first round.
But honestly, I feel like we'd be fine. I really do. I'm not that scared of them.
They also, I mean,
yeah, no, we just lost. We just collapsed them, but like we had them for most of that game.
They also beat, I mean, Florida, what, had like, let's see right now. Florida had 50 shots. Lightning had 16. Lightning won 5-3.
Wow.
Like, that's the problem. They could win in multiple ways. Vasilevsky comes up one night. Point comes up one night. Kucherov comes up one night. Stamkos shows up. You know, their depth comes up. They have a lot of weapons, which, yeah, you'd wish Detroit. Again, I'm not saying the Rangers can't beat Tampa, but you know, you hope either the Rangers surpass Florida so they could play Detroit, or actually, now that I'm looking at this, Washington actually is only 1 point away, and they have 2 games in hand against Detroit. And the Islanders have 1 game in hand against Detroit, and they are 1 point behind as well. So not only Detroit, but Washington and the Islanders. And yeah, I mean, look, Islanders also lost yesterday to Ottawa, but the fact that they beat the Islanders, you know, with that defensive game and some incredible passing plays. I mean, the Islanders must be so desperate right now, right? Because every point for them matters. And honestly, if the Rangers lose a point here and there, we're not happy because, you know, they lost, but, you know, it's not really the end of the world.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely impressive.
It is indeed. And yeah, we got, most teams have 14, 15 games left. It's gonna be real shaky for that last wild card spot. It's like, I'm looking at the standings and I'm like, good God, that's really close.
Yeah. And the Detroit's been having a meltdown.
I know. Yeah, if I was a Detroit fan, I'd be pretty pissed. Because it really looked like they were gonna be pretty solidly in there for a minute. Now it's like, maybe not.
Their past 10 is 2-8-0.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
No,
you're battling for a wild card and you just go 2-8.
The Flyers are finally coming back to reality a bit too.
It's about time.
I thought it was going to happen a lot sooner. Really did.
Yeah. I mean, the Rangers have 2 points over 4 points over Carolina. And that game also. Yeah,
yeah, that was Carolina. I mean, the only one that's ahead of us right now is Boston. They have a game in hand right now. So,
what do you mean against? You're saying with us?
Yeah, I mean, the only team that's ahead of us right now in the standings.
Oh, is wow! I thought Florida. Oh no. Okay, this is updated from today. My bad. So we have to. Yeah, we have to get ahead of Boston, or Florida. Yeah. It'll probably go back and forth throughout the weeks.
Yeah.
But, that would be great. Tampa would, nah, no thanks. I'm good. I'm going to pass on that one. But another thing also is the Rangers. I just want to clarify before I say something, and it's totally inaccurate. Two-day break right now. And then it is, do you know the Rangers do not have another two-day break the rest of the season after this one?
Wow.
And they just had 5 games in 7 days.
Yeah, it's pretty wild because they play Tuesday, they play Thursday, they play Saturday. Oh, no, they have another two-day break.
Yeah, no, don't. This one.
No, no, after the Panthers game.
They do?
They don't play. Yeah, because after on the 23rd.
No, that's what I was referring to. They don't have a two-day break this week. I'm talking about next week, sorry. Not
Yes.
Don't have it.
I'm talking about their current work because we're currently in a two-game break. Two-day break.
But no. I did assume that because they just had 5 games in 7 days.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And then, after that 1-2-day break, they do not have another one. I mean, at what point do you say maybe this team should scratch its players to get them rested earlier than usual? Because, to 2022, they ran out of gas for Lightning. In the Eastern Conference Final. It was so clear. And you don't want that happening even earlier, given the ridiculous schedule. I mean, when do you consider saying, hey, you know what, let's just scratch this day? You got to do it earlier than usual.
Well, no, I think because as you were just talking about with ideal playoff matchups too, if you're still vying for a better matchup, you know, and you want to be winning the games, and then you play your guys and you play them out, you know.
But even if you get the matchup, you're still burnt out by the second series.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's the end of the season. All teams are going to be burnt out. Now, granted, yeah, they may have had a couple, you know, their schedule may have allowed them to have a couple more two-day breaks in between. But also then you're not having as many hard practices then. And, you know, there's other ways to manage their energy levels. I think you got to keep playing. You got to keep playing them out until the last couple games where you're like, hey, we know whether or not we're going to be vying for a position that we want to be going for or not. And then you can start calling in the, you know, start resting some of the star players. But yeah, you can't start doing that until you get a really good idea of what the playoff picture looks like. And you don't really have that until pretty much, you know, last couple games of the year. It's usually still pretty open at that point.
Yeah, it's just, man, even if you get that, you know, that better spot and then you end up getting worn out, it's...
I mean, the thing is that it doesn't matter. Like, even if you do rest your players for the last few games or whatever, if the first two series you play in the playoffs and you win are both seven games, multi-overtime, slugfest, it doesn't matter that three fucking weeks ago you got a night off. You know, it's not going to matter. If you want to be well-rested and go through the playoffs really well, you do that by winning a series in less than seven games.
Yeah, no. It's but they can't win in less than seven, though, unfortunately. That's the problem.
It is a problem.
it's a reason every time they get worn out, because, like, well, you just played a seven game series and before that another seven game series, and right now it's game seven. So it's I don't know. However they manage it, but obviously they gotta manage it in some way, shape, or form, whether it's practices or whatever it is, because that you don't want to risk them getting burnt out. I mean, imagine you end up losing a series just because they ran out of gas. That's you want to lose. If you lose, you lost to the better team, fine. But if you lost just because you ran out of gas, that's brutal.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it is within the control of the team itself. I mean, that's why winning and being able to clear a series in four or five games is so huge.
Yeah. Out of Tampa, not Tampa, Detroit, Washington, or the Islanders, I guess you'd probably, would you pick Detroit or Washington?
Detroit.
I just want to go over there.
I don't know. That's kind of a toss-up.
And my phone's freezing, so I can't really. Here we go. Detroit's.
Hello, what was that? Dead air. Dead air.
What up, we're on.
You tell me there are two wars going on right now? We are fighting two wars? Now, where are these wars? Are these wars in the United States?
Honestly, I'd probably want to play Washington, because when you go up against a young team like this who doesn't really have any pressure or nothing to lose, I don't think there was any chance Detroit would beat the Rangers. It's just they'd probably maybe extend the series, I don't know, a game or two. With Washington, I think they could sweep them. Again, I'm saying worst case scenario, odds are the Rangers do sweep them, but out of both the two, it would be the reason why, because the worst case and very rare scenario, the worst one is probably versus Detroit. Unless you disagree.
I feel like you could argue the complete opposite way, too. You could say, oh, well, they're a young team, so we can win a couple games on them and they get disheartened and we just put them away because they know that they're not ready to really compete yet. Whereas Washington has a more veteran status who will grind us out. They know how to win these dirty games and they'll take us to seven or whatever, you know. You could, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not even arguing.
No, I hear that.
I'm just saying, I think you could really go either way on that.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather play those two teams than anyone else that's currently.
Well, yeah. Obviously, you'd rather them over Tampa.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yep. Oh, so speaking of which, we've, you know, discussed over the past season and a half, season and a half about Fox, you know, kind of thinking he's the smartest in the league. And while he is, he's doing it over the top. He's not as physical. While he's small, he's not really getting in the dirty areas. He's not playing as great defensively. While it's still elite, it's not how good he could be. And I don't know, it just seems like the past week and a half, more, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he's been back to peak.
Yeah, I think he's turning it on a little bit as we're coming down the wire.
I mean, yeah, no, defensively, he's been fantastic. I mean, listen, he's always fantastic defensively, but you knew there was something extra that you weren't seeing, and, you know, you were hoping eventually he'd start going back to it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens to players, even really elite players, you know, in the middle of the season, they kind of, you know, this is still, they may love it, they may have passion for it, and they may want to win and everything, but it is still a long season, a lot of games, a lot of travel, a lot of stuff going on that, you know, you may not, I don't think there's anyone in hockey that's capable of giving 100% every single night, every single shift. I think how you manage that is a big part of what makes somebody great or not. So yeah, I can see middle of the season sort of being like, you know, kind of, we're winning, we're still doing well, you know, you're playing hard and you need to play hard, but otherwise, you know, you may not be bringing it. But once, now that the playoffs are really coming around the corner here, you got, you know, 14 games left in the season here, really starting to wind down, you start turning it up a little bit.
Am I the only one that's, I mean, listen, I know playoffs are, well, besides being the most stressful time of the year, you know, exciting, its peak. And am I the only one that's just kind of upset the regular season's ending?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not remember how brutal the last offseason was?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not necessarily looking forward to the offseason, but God, like, can
offseason's enjoy, hell.
Can I enjoy the moment before it comes?
No.
I mean, no, I'm not. No, that's. I try to live in the moment. I try to live presently. I am not concerned about the off season right now. Don't you break? We're not even at the playoffs yet, Berkey. I'm not thinking about fucking summer yet. Fuck you. No, I'm not dealing with that. We will deal with that when the time comes. I don't need to worry about
it's,
that.
It's right hell, now. Man. When you see the regular season end and the off season's hell.
We're not even
it's
done
so
with the regular
brutal.
Season yet. Will you finish the meal that's in front of you first before you start worrying about what 3 months from now? We got the end of the season to worry about, and we got a playoff run to worry about. Let's bite off that.
But it's still hell.
No, it's not. It's not hell because it doesn't exist.
It does exist.
The offseason doesn't exist. No, it doesn't. It doesn't exist. Not right now, it doesn't. Worry about right now. Yeah. I am not going to engage with that anymore.
But it's absolute hell.
Sure. No. All right. Well, if that's all you got, then.
Well, I mean, another thing I guess to address is Roslovic has been a perfect fit for the first line. I mean, how many, what is it, 2 5v5 goals now in the last week? 3? In this economy?
It certainly seems to have given them a spark, that's for sure.
I mean, he does, like, the thing was his Kako, like, part of his game was perfect for that line, like, defensively, and then the puck possession, that sort of puck-driving style. But the problem was is he didn't really generate or play make much in the tight areas, or really a lot, and, you know, Zibanejad couldn't really get set up a lot. With Roslovic, yeah. he does more of that.
Yeah, and he's also a lot faster too. I mean, Kako was not ever helping out on a rush at all. And yeah, Kako is allergic to going to the center of the ice.
But he did it today.
He did, yes. Yes, he did. And that was great. I was very happy to see that. I was very proud of him for doing that. I mean, they did kind of roll out the red carpet for him a little bit, but still, he went there and did it. But
we'll take it, Brett. We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. Absolutely. I'm not trying to bash on him at all, but just saying it was a little bit of red carpet rolled out. But even so, it makes a huge difference. I mean, that's why Kako wasn't a good fit for the first line, is because he isn't able to do those things, at least currently. Hopefully he is able to going forward and can get that part of his game going. If he gets a little bit faster, gets a little more confident to go to the center of the ice, he's going to be deadly, because he's got great hands. He actually has a good shot when he actually shoots it. He just needs the confidence to stop doubting himself. So, but yeah, for the time being, Roslovic has been a great addition.
And Kako, Wennberg, or Cooley, or I guess it depends what Laviolette goes with now, Cooley or VC. I don't know why he did it. I think Cooley had a bad penalty. I think that was the penalty that
Tampa, that was a weak
Tampa got
call.
The game winner.
At that point of the game, too, like, what was that, 6 minutes left in the game, and they called that? I was like, that is a ticky-tacky call. I did not care for that one.
Because imagine you have two big guys on the right and left side that could go to work in the corners, and then you have Wennberg that's known to be very good defensively. Today he was meh, but besides this game, he was very good. That third line has been very good defensively, and it's really helped. But listen, VC also is incredible defensively. And he actually, analytics show that he has had better numbers offensively. But I don't know. It's very enticing to have Kako on one side and Cooley on the other. But hey, if this works, it works. Again, Cooley got a goal today. Kako got a goal today. Both lines got a goal. So if it works, it works. I guess we'll just see. It could also be, this is what we were talking about before, managing their time. It could just be he's on the fourth line. Because, again, he is a rookie, right? And this is a full 82 games. I don't know. Maybe it was because of that penalty. But that's probably something we have to see a few more games just to see if Laviolette will let it stick. And I think that's it. You got anything else here? Which at 12 o'clock, like it was 12 o'clock at night.
Nope. I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. I want to go to bed.
Really? You don't want to
stay
up to like 3 a.m.?
No, I want to go to sleep just like the Rangers did against the Lightning in the third period.
Man, the equivalent sleep of that would be... Oh, that'd be great. It's so weird because they had the most perfect first period you could ever have. And then it just fell apart, which is...
That's why you can't take your feet off the gas.
No, no. And especially a team like Tampa.
Nope. That's the kind of thing I wouldn't expect to have happen in playoff games.
No, because Laviolette will bring the hammer down, unlike the last coach, which his first adjustment came in game 6.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, you know, this time you're not going to lose because of coaching. You're not going to lose because the players didn't show up. If they don't show up one game, Laviolette will have them practicing for 4 hours the next day. Like, he's not going to be screwing around here.
You would think, you would hope.
Yeah, I know. You never know, but it seems that way based on how he's been.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure.
Yeah. Last thing, and then we'll go here.
Yeah, what's up?
How much would you re-sign Lindgren to? I know this is an off-season talk, but I figured he's injured and this is his contract year. And, you know, we've seen the record without him. I think the term the glue is absolutely fair, but I think it's more of he's the only defensive defenseman. If they had one other, his impact or that record would not be that way without him. But what would you pay to have him? I mean, and also term, right? You know, because this could be another Dan Girardi situation.
Yeah, I'd love a 3x3. It would be great.
Oh, he's making 3.5 now.
Yeah, I know.
You got to ask him to take a disc.
Yeah.
Well, just say this. Hey, Lindgren, you know, we're competing for a cup. You get to play with Fox.
He wins the cup this year. He's going to want to stick around. And he was playing not so great this year in his contract year. You know?
No.
So I'm going to say... 3x3 would be ideal. I don't think you, if you're paying him more than $4 million a year, you've lost the plot. It's fucking stupid. I don't care how much of a warrior he is and how much
you can't.
Or anything else like that. Over four is ridiculous for somebody that doesn't score and who has been spotty this year too, and whose body is taking a beating like that. You don't hand out big contracts and long terms to guys like that. I don't care how much you love them. Mm. It doesn't make sense. When people say, oh, he's what makes Fox play good. No, he fucking isn't.
Fox played well when Lieber Hayek was paired with him.
Trust me, Fox will learn and can learn to play with another defenseman that isn't named Ryan Lindgren, okay? Like, yes, they may work well together, but they're not the only combination that works. It's not like Adam Fox goes from being a Norris winner to not, and it's because of Ryan Lindgren. No, absolutely not. There are other combinations that will work well. And frankly, I think he might be served better by having a different player other than Lindgren there anyway. I'd like to keep Lindgren around. I do like him. But honestly, I don't think he's worth any more than his current contract is. I really, really don't.
And he's arbitration eligible.
Yeah. But like I said, after we win a cup this year, he can decide how much he wants to stay and win another one with us. So.
Oh, and his qualifying offer, by the way, is $3.6 million.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love it.
Perfect. Yeah, wouldn't you? I think you're probably looking more like, I mean, honestly, we always say a little bit more and then Drury ends up, you know, getting them to sign a really good contract like Lafreniere, Miller. I'm forgetting another. But every single time, I think it's going to be a little more. He manages to keep it down. So I don't know. Maybe 3.6 is possible, but I'd probably be looking at 4 right now.
Yeah, I think anything north of 4 is lunacy.
Yeah, and also it depends on term, because if they're looking for more than 3-4 years, you let them walk, because not let them walk, but you trade his rights or something, because you can't. Yeah. It's going to be Dangerardi 2.0.
I agree.
All right, so I think we're going to wrap it up here. Brett, again, you got anything else, or we're wrapping it up?
Yeah, Ryan Lindgren will not be the last injury of this year.
Wow. And then someone's got an injury this week, and then you're going to say, well, I never said that. I wasn't trying to jinx it. I don't know what you're talking about. I got to clip out this little bit here and then play it over replay over next week's podcast.
Do that.
When something goes down. But all righty. Thank you to the listeners, and we will see you next time. We'll